I was busy, but I don't ever remember feeling so active as I do now, and it's weird during a pandemic. I think we would all agree this is an interesting season. Elected at the front end of a pandemic, just before George Floyd's death, and in the midst of chaos at the Capitol, which for me meant learning to navigate crowds and having anxiety-inducing conversations with exhausted communities in public, while at the same time lamenting true opportunities for Sabbath, confessing feelings of inadequacy and uncertainty with my family in private. It's a lot. Indeed, my friends, our work as the church is good work. It is a calling. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And for all of us, especially in years like this past one, it's okay to acknowledge that sometimes it's a lot. I know I have some roster leaders that understand what I'm talking about. I know there are some council members and lay leaders who have said, it's a lot. I know there's some Senate Assembly planning teams who can relate. Early in Mark's gospel, a book that begins with the words, "This is the beginning of good news." We learn that good news aside, Jesus' public ministry, a ministry that by all measures should have been met with love and amazement, was met perhaps more times than not with conflict and tension. Jesus recruits, heals, exorcises demons, and even forgives sins already by the time before we reach chapter 3 of Mark's gospel. Jesus preaches and teaches in word and deed, eating with sinners and tax collectors, healing on the Sabbath, and so on. As a result, and perhaps unintentionally, it seems that Jesus' activity has gathered a crowd, many of whom are unhappy with them. Community members, religious leaders, and a dozen or so disciples continually gather around him in a space of tense anticipation, some watching, some plotting, and all of them waiting to see what might happen next. Will we be offended or will we be healed? Will we kill him or will we find new life? Whatever momentum Jesus has gained, whatever charisma he has exuded, whatever popularity has been produced among the people, these first three chapters of the Gospel of Mark illustrate something of a rocky start to Jesus' public life and ministry. Whatever his progress, there are some clear bumps in the road. I'm sure I got some graduates who understand bumps in the road. I'm sure I got leaders waiting on calls and positions, those who have moved to new cities or started new relationships that understands a rocky start. And when there's a rocky start, there's some critique. But from your family? I can understand critique, but Jesus' family was involved. Those who he loved in private were becoming enemies of his public ministry. They went to take charge of him, says our text. For it was believed that he was out of his mind. Perhaps he's possessed, they wondered. Perhaps he had a demon. Perhaps he is the king of demons. And that's why he has such power. At the very least, conventional wisdom could testify that Jesus' unorthodox style was somewhat foolish. Come on, you can hear the crowd saying in Jesus' day, why mess with tradition, Jesus? Why shake things up? Why fix what nobody asks you to fix? Performing miracles on the Sabbath? Supper with sinners? Why so in your face, Jesus? Are you going out of your way to make some kind of political point? Aren't we already polarized enough these days? Can you stop already with the controversies? Who cares about the least, the last, and the lost? Can't you see that your words are dividing us? I swear he's either out of his mind or possessed. No wonder they're plotting against him. Can't you hear the voices of the crowd? And when news arrived that Jesus' family were near, the text tells us someone found Jesus as he was teaching. And they let him know, your mother and your brothers are outside. Of course, Jesus, being Jesus, seized the opportunity to create a teachable moment. I don't know about you, but I feel like in the gospel text, Jesus is always expanding our idea about family. Here are my mother and my brothers. He said, looking into the eyes of those who circled him, you friends are my siblings. Indeed, whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. Whoever does God's will is my family. And just like that, Jesus is merging ministries. He's merging public with private. The crowd is now the community. The community, now the assembly, and the assembly, now family. You see, in this time and space of tension, despite their accusations, and despite the ponderings in the hearts of even Jesus' family, Jesus was not there to perform miracles. He was not an actor. He was not selling anything. And he certainly didn't have a demon. Jesus was there to heal them and to make a family of a world that seemed hell-bent on making each other into demons. No doubt, the bond of family was a strong one. So was the calling of faith toward the work of God's reign. The crowds, his family, the religious leaders. For Jesus, these were not separate groups. Rather, one people in need of a healing. One people in need of justice. One people in need of grace and reconciliation and love. They were one people in need of humanization, a softening of hearts, a metanoia. It's unclear what transformations or epiphanies took place. But between chapter 3 in chapter 4 of Mark's gospel, one thing is clear. They're still gathered around Jesus at the beginning of chapter 4. While gathered around him, they were one. Gathered to be fed, to be healed, and to be set free. gathered to discern and to do the will of the Creator. At least as they gathered around the table of Christ's love in search of God's will, they were family. Family. Metro DC Synod. Let us continue the work of cultivating love and healing. Family, this is indeed God's work. It's a calling, and it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, family, it's a lot. Amen.